As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Athletic Baseball Show here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am Andrew Ellis, your writer with the company, here with Jake Kaplan, our Houston Astros beat writer. We are here at Minute Maid Park about an hour or so after the Astros lost a game that felt like it took 3 weeks, 6-2 to the Atlanta Braves. Jake, the Astros have lost, what, five home World Series games in a row?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Right? That's a lot.
Four in 2019,
yeah. And then
game
one.
So game five of the 2017 World Series, was their last one. So it's been a minute. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think it's probably randomness, but
yeah,
it's definitely weird.
Well, this was an interesting game for a few reasons. It'll be helpful to have you on because obviously you covered Charlie Morton when he was here in Houston. The biggest takeaway is that Charlie Morton, you know, fractured his leg here in the second inning, I guess, and then he sort of was unable to keep pitching in the third. He will be out for the rest of the series, and that sort of takes away a very, very valuable part of the Braves rotation. They only really have three starting pitchers they trust. Now they're down to two. But before we get too deep into, you know, kind of the matchups and everything moving forward for the rest of the series, what is up with Framber Valdez? Why is he vacillating between incredible and terrible this postseason?
I don't think I've ever seen him give up that much hard contact in that short a span of time. Like, he's definitely had some bad starts over the years, but two innings with, like, six balls, like, absolutely destroyed, and then several others that were hit pretty hard as well. I mean, he was falling behind pretty much every hitter, 2-0, 3-0, it felt like. He's throwing a changeup to Duvall in the third inning. His changeup's just, like, far and away, third best pitch.
He doubled up on it, too. It was change.
Was it? Yeah. I don't really get that one. Yeah, he's hard to figure out. He's an enigma. Like I said, like, the amount of hard contact, because he didn't even, I think he had one walk, but like usually when he falls apart, it's like three walks and three hits, not eight hits.
When he looks good, what does he look like?
Strike one, strike two, ground ball out. He's saving himself with double plays. Has enough control of his curveball where he's getting swing and misses with it, which he got a few, but I mean, he didn't have sinker command or curveball command for most of it. So he's essentially a two-pitch guy.
Right.
I mean, you could argue the curveball has different forms and maybe it's multiple pitches, but he needs those two. He needs to throw those two where he wants them to be successful.
Yeah, and so it's an issue for an Astros team, right, which is already sort of short on starting pitching. Lance McCullers is out. They're going to line up Jose Urquidy for game two.
Luis Garcia.
Luis Garcia, who was actually very good this year, would be there for game three. And who is game four?
Jake
Odorizzi pitched tonight.
Yeah, but they pulled him after one time through, which suggests that they want to have him available for two or three more innings then. So I think it could be a Greinke opener, a Javier opener, or an Odorizzi opener.
Right. How does that – so pushing forward, I guess, like as you sort of spin this – beyond, how do you feel like the Astros pitching will match up over the next 4 or 5 days?
You know, Urquidy's interesting because he's really good, but we haven't seen him much lately. Mm-hmm. He's pitched once this postseason, and it was a really terrible start in Boston. I think he lasted one inning or 1 2/3. So you don't exactly know what you're going to get there. Like, on paper, he's very good, and he can get righties and lefties out. But again, you know, second start since October 3rd. Garcia should be good, especially on extra rest. He usually does really well on extra rest. Although, one thing that's interesting about their decision to go Urquidy 2 or Garcia 3 is Garcia is way better at home than on the road. So I'm thinking there that they didn't want to give Urquidy like 10 days between starts again. And also, they didn't want the Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, Michael Brantley outfield behind the one of the most extreme flyball pitchers in baseball.
Right.
But Garcia is a flyball pitcher as well. So so that's interesting. Feels like they kind of have to win game two. And on the flip side, it kind of felt like the Braves had to win game one as soon as Morton went out. Because I don't think they could afford to lose Morton and lose the game.
Well, especially when you have a 5-run lead.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's devastating.
Yeah.
I mean, Atlanta, you know, I hadn't watched a ton of them this year before really the postseason, mostly because I just don't watch baseball anymore. But
you'd watch the Atlanta Hawks more this year.
No, I don't watch sports. Oh, okay. I mostly read books. I sit on my couch and read books. It's a very nice life. The Atlanta team, so like obviously the numbers on them is they are an 88 win team. They do not play like an 88 win team. They are probably closer to a true talent 95 to 100.
Which is what the Astros were.
Right. I mean, this is a very, very fair fight. And the Astros, you know, are obviously, like, battle-tested. There's no reason to rule them out. But Atlanta is very, very tough. As you saw, their lineup is deep. They have a lot of guys who can hurt you. The work that Alex Anthopoulos did at the deadline, getting, you know, basically four starting outfielders, right? Jock Peterson, Jorge Soler, Adam Duvall, and Eddie Rosario. That's really the reason they're here. Yeah, I mean, right. It's like, you know, that's the reason they're here. And so you see, you know, Duvall and Soler went deep tonight. Rosario made a couple of nice plays in the field. It sets up to be a pretty interesting, you know, rest of the week and you know, rest of the series. Are you able to put in perspective why teammates like Charlie Morton so much?
He's an awesome guy, and he's very much just like your normal guy. Like, he doesn't like when you talk to him, you don't feel like he's a baseball player. You know, I mean, the time I covered him, he hadn't accomplished nearly as much as he's accomplished now. Although the first season I covered him in 2017, he ended up closing out the World Series. But he's just like your normal guy. He's super friendly. He cares about everyone. Like, he's one of those players, and you know, it seems like they're few and far between now who actually like, you know, asks you how you're doing and knows your name. And,
right.
You know, I would say he's one of the best people I've covered in the 6 years I've been down here in Houston. So, you know, I'm sure in the Astros dugout, just as, you know, maybe not just as much, but, a lot, you know, they were probably hated to see what happened too. And, you know, it's kind of obviously, especially when it's like a fluky thing like that, or it's just a hard ground ball or comebacker. And it didn't look at the time like anything was up, and then all of a sudden he's just out.
Right.
After striking out two guys on a broken leg. So
yeah, he reminds me of like a right-handed Rich Hill in a way, like, you know, sort of similar career path, similar way that like people talk about him.
Great curveballs.
You know, a little more coherent in interviews. You know, I don't think Rich would be offended, you know, to know that he can kind of get in the vortex. It is interesting. Now that Atlanta, you know, moving forward, they're not going to have Morton. They have Ian Anderson, who Brian Snicker very clearly does not trust in the way that he trusted Morton and Max Fried. They have, they ran a bullpen game against the Dodgers, and they're going to have to set up, you know, a bullpen game at some point here, if not several. Their bullpen's been good, but it's also, you know, not as deep as the Dodgers. Do you feel like what you saw from the Houston offense tonight is a cause for concern? Just one loss. I mean, Altuve, obviously, his numbers have been kind of in the toilet, but also his hits have been very meaningful. So
I mean, it's weird. He had like three hits in the ALCS, but two monster game time home runs.
Right.
And then he was pretty terrible. He was 0-for-5 with 3 Ks, I think. And I think Bregman had 0-for-4 with 2 Ks.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, like, Brantley has 3 hits, 2 against the lefty, which he hasn't I don't think he's done that all year. Mm-hmm. Tucker at two, Gurriel had inches away from a home run. So I don't think there's much there on like a macro level, but Altuve's, I think, probably a little bit more cause for concern than, you know, if we're looking at individual guys, especially when they're already playing with, you know, an empty spot in the nine hole, basically.
Mm,
and in the NL there. Games, they're going to have two empty spots, right. Maldonado and a pitcher. So, right. You know, it's going to put a lot of pressure on their top seven.
Kyle Tucker was like the best hitter in baseball in the second half. Why does he bat like seventh?
Yeah, sixth now.
Six, okay.
Dusty's moving him up.
Okay, he's slowly getting there.
He had the best OPS all season, like for the season, of any player who made the playoff.
So why is he bat sixth?
It's a great question. Yeah. I think it's just a product of where he started.
Sure.
And them not really wanting to mess with Altuve and Bregman.
Right, right.
There was a few weeks ago, I was like, especially against lefties, like, Brantley has like a 5-something OPS against lefties. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to switch them, right? Yeah, like 2-7. Right. And but they just, you know, Dusty just same lineup every day, basically.
Mm.
It's old school.
That feels, I don't know if I like that.
It's not optimizing a lineup. How much it matters, I don't know, but it's not optimizing it.
Yeah, that seems like a switch that wouldn't be difficult to. It's one thing if you're benching Brantley.
Right.
You're just saying no. You're not hitting well against these types of players.
Right.
So,
or you could even do like Altuve, Bregman, Alvarez, Correa, uh-huh. Tucker to get Correa up one spot. You know, because
uh-huh.
Alvarez and Tucker both hit lefties. Great.
Right.
You know,
what is the Yordan Alvarez defensive experience going to be like?
He's okay.
Yeah.
He's not good. But, like, there's only, like, one or two times I can remember this year where he messed up. Or, like, there was a ball where it's like, oh, Brantley would have gotten that.
Uh-huh.
It's not, you know, he's adequate.
Okay.
I think the bigger thing is Tucker in center, Brantley in right, is, like, two guys out of position.
Uh-huh.
Like, Tucker's not a center fielder.
Right.
He did mess up a ball in San Fran when they played there in July.
Uh-huh.
And Brantley's not a right fielder.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and Atlanta does have a fairly expansive park, so there's some crevices there where
balls can
get lost. Yeah, it's a baseball stadium. It's big. It's in unincorporated Cobb County, but everyone uses Atlanta as the dateline. But it's not Atlanta. It's really closer. I think the town's pronounced Smyrna.
Oh, fun name.
So
cool.
Yeah, have you ever been?
Yeah, they went for a 2-game series in 2017 over July 4th.
Where'd you eat?
I remember having a pizza at the Battery that I brought to the park. Other than that, I don't remember.
What a life.
It was a weird series. It was right before the All-Star break, and Correa broke his thumb sliding into Tyler Flowers' catching gear.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where does the time go?
Yeah.
So it's nice to think about, you know, these are the milestones in your 20s. What has been your impression? I know it was only one game, but I imagine you watched a little bit of the NLCS. What have you thought of Atlanta?
You know, I think I underestimated their lineup. Like you were saying earlier, they are deep.
They don't have a dead spot. Everyone can hit.
It's just not the names. But like every time I see Travis d'Arnaud, he does something,
mm-hmm.
you know, or Adam Duvall.
Yeah.
So I think that was my biggest impression. I mean, the bullpen, I don't know. Like Will Smith, I felt like he was going to blow the game as soon as he came in. Like I was like, this is not over.
Yeah.
But Minter was great. I mean, Luke Jackson handled them and he's struggled, so.
It's their bullpen is interesting. I mean, Matzek has been the guy for them, but he was not, you know, Alvarez got him.
Yeah.
You know, but also, like, Jackson had been kind of close to unpitchable in times in the NLCS, and he was good.
Yeah, like, when he brought him out for a second inning, I was like, you really want to push your luck here?
Yeah,
like,
it's And the thing about the lineup, I know maybe we said this already on this podcast. I know I said it last week, but just, like, 1-8 and in the AL – 9 is a good baseman. Like they do, and like this is no offense to Martin Maldonado. He's obviously very valuable based on what he does when he plays, but he's not a hitter.
No.
The Braves have a lineup where everyone is a hitter. Even if Travis d'Arnaud's numbers this year are not, you know, up to his normal standard, he is a guy who can do things. And you know, when you have Dansby Swanson as your 8 or 9 hitter, and he's a league average hitter, you know, like 100 OPS guy. I mean, that's just hugely valuable. And so their lineup doesn't exactly quit in any spot, which makes it kind of hard to navigate.
They should have scored more than 5 runs off Valdez.
Yeah, they didn't play particularly well.
Even like Dansby Swanson had the homer, the fly ball to the deepest part of the park.
Yeah,
Freeman had that out that Altuve gobbled up in the first. Like there was two balls crushed that were out. So it could have been even worse for Valdez.
Yeah,
but yeah, they didn't really add on after after the Astros bullpen came in. That's been a big surprise for me, is how well the Astros bullpen has pitched these last two rounds. Like, there was the clear weak spot coming into the playoffs, and you know, Jake Odorizzi threw up zeros.
Yeah.
Phil Maton, after like a very whatever regular season, has been great. You know, they're you know, I feel like they're due for some regression, but I haven't seen it yet.
I mean, we're pretty deep into the season, so there's only so much regression you can have. Someone was tweeting like, you know, like the Braves have lost Mike Soroka and Ronald Acuna, and now they've lost Charlie Morton. I was kind of like, yeah, but they're also like 3 wins away from winning the World Series. So it's kind of like, yeah, those injuries hurt, but like they're also very close to winning the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, you could play the Justin Verlander card too, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can do it with every team.
Yeah,
it's just kind of like a weird way to frame it. Like, maybe the regression's coming. It's like, yeah, definitely. Maybe after game 8. What are you looking for?
Urquidy, I mean, just the unknown of, like, he hasn't pitched here since October 3rd, the regular season finale that didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
He missed a good chunk of the season with shoulder issues. When he's on, like, he's got 4 good pitches.
Yeah.
You know, he's better against lefties than he is righties, which, you know, I guess that's probably not an issue here. But, you know, against righty-heavy teams like the White Sox, that's why he didn't pitch that series.
Right.
So that's it. I mean, they need someone who can hold the Braves offense down for the first 4 or 5 innings, even if it's just 2 times through the order.
Right.
You know, there's an off day. You can use everyone in your bullpen.
You can empty the clip.
Yeah.
Urquidy was very good in game 4 of the World Series.
In 2019.
Right? 2019. Kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah. It was five. I think it was 5 innings, scoreless, 2 hits.
Right.
He was a rookie who was supposed to be like at his innings limit, like a month earlier.
Right.
And I mean, that was a swing game.
Right.
Up until game 7,
right.
He lost.
Right.
Yeah, and he's really good. Like, great command, except for in Boston, he walked 3 guys.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe home field will do better for him than the road did, but that's what I'm looking for most. I don't think their offense is going to, you know, their offense is good. Like, they're going to hit.
They will, yeah, you would think that. I mean, I don't know, I just spent, like, half a month watching the Dodgers, so, like, I'm not necessarily sure that I believe that good offenses will just start hitting it. But I don't know. I've got Dodger brain. It's really messed with my
head. The Astros, like, will do this thing in the regular season where you're like, oh, there's something off with their offense. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
And then the playoffs start and it's like 10 runs a game.
Right, right.
So Astros brain is maybe very different than
Dodgers
brain.
Yeah, right. No, you're sort of optimistic about how all of a sudden the offense is going to perform, whereas the Dodgers are just like, how are they going to not get this guy in from third base yet again?
I'm curious to see, like, I don't think Max Fried's faced any of them outside of Marwin Gonzalez and Zach Greinke.
Right.
So, that'll be interesting. You know, what was he like in his last start? I think I
was
caught the end of it.
He was not very good. He was fine. But it wasn't like, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't particularly, I mean, it was a game that the Braves, you know, they had Max Fried going against the Dodgers bullpen game, which, you know, the Dodgers bullpen was incredible, so maybe that's not the advantage that it looks
right.
like, but, you know, the Dodgers got to him and, you know, kind of took care of business, and so it would, you know, force us all to fly across the country to Atlanta. You know, not that I wanted to go home and make sure my cat was alive. So he was fine. I mean, I think he was better in game 1. You know, he was getting a lot of quick outs, a lot of, you know, soft contact, you know, throwing his curveball for strikes. You know, but it's all, you know, like he's been a very good pitcher this year. I think he's had like 1.5 ERA since August, I'm getting that right. You know, which is very low, 1.5.
That's a low number.
You know, what you would consider good. So it bodes well as an interesting matchup. You know, I don't know. I've been watching a lot of the Braves. They're a good club.
Do they change their lineup? Or is it?
Yeah. So if there's a right-hander on the mound, Rosario will probably lead off. Maybe not, because, you know, then that'll be interesting, because Soler was the leadoff hitter going into, you know, kind of through the NLDS. But then Soler, you know, contracted COVID, and so he was out for most of the NLCS. They installed Rosario as the leadoff guy, and Rosario is like the best hitter on the planet.
Right.
So, you know, it's a question of, do you want to go back to the formula that, you know, you were riding up until this point. Do you want to give more at bats to Rosario when he's just in a freakish zone? I don't know. I'm curious. But they,
and
you
a
see,
reverse split starter with Urquidy.
Right. Yeah. And you saw what Soler did, just, you know, park one of the seats. So, you know,
yeah.
It's, you know, he's been pretty good. It'll be interesting. They don't do a ton of switching. They kind of, you know, like they had Jock Peterson starting against a lefter from Bermaldez, but that I think that was probably related to the DH
right.
more than anything else. So
and he got a hit, right?
Yeah, amazingly, yes. Jock got a hit off a lefty, which, you know, that's when I knew it was the Braves night. So it'll be interesting, but it's mostly, you know, it'll be mostly the same dude. So
two set lineups.
Yeah, basically. Well, Jake, thank you for doing this.
My pleasure.
This was fun. We'll let you go back to finish writing. DOB is hammering out his story right now. We'll probably have him on for before Game 6. If there is a Game 6, I think there's going to be a Game 6. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for more postseason baseball coverage. You can download The Athletic Baseball Show. Its episodes on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.